May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, we are continuing our study of God's Word, drawing on the Apostles' Creed. I'd like to mention that we are not preaching the Apostles' Creed. This series is about preaching of God's Word. It is not promoting the Apostles' Creed. It is using the Apostles' Creed as basis to look at God's Word afresh. I could also say that the words we preach in some ways could make us a little bit uncomfortable. And it should, in many ways, make us to rethink about what it is that we believe. To revisit our attitude and our responses to the things we believe. The Apostles' Creed, so to say, could be said to be divided into three parts. One deals with God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. We have talked about that, creator of heaven and earth. And in the time and age of skepticism, questioning and rationalism, there is always a tendency to find ourselves in unbelief or disbelief. So today we are looking at, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And this statement, you could find it at least in four parts. Jesus, Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So at least four parts of that affirmation. So we are saying, I believe in Jesus. And I believe in Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jesus asked the disciples, What do people say that the Son of Man, who do people say that the Son of Man is? It was at a time in his ministry, and before this time he had had a confrontation with the Pharisees, who had asked him for a sign. And remember that the Pharisees were religious leaders. So they were custodians of religious ideas and beliefs. Yet they could not quite understand who Jesus was. And so if you are in church and you have issues or you struggle with understanding who Jesus is or accepting who Jesus is, you are not alone. It's been an experience down through the history of the church that people have always struggled to understand. So Jesus asked the disciples, who do people actually say that I am? I've been around in earthly ministry. I've worked with you through Palestine for about 3 years. And the answers came almost without struggle. They said, John the Baptist. And also I said, and when I read this scripture, I was so glad. You know, they said Jesus was Elijah. I said, oh, that's good. It feels good that my name is there. Elijah, okay. Do we have any Jeremiah here? Some people say he was Jeremiah. Others said one of the prophets. So they actually thought that Jesus was cool. They thought that Jesus had some, he was special. Because all of these prophets, all of these that are mentioned, if you read through the Bible, they were really special in many ways. What do people say about Jesus today? Now, there's a study that was conducted by Banner on behalf of the Church of England, the Evangelical Alliance, and Hope in 2015. And this is what they found out. They surveyed 3,000 people. And at the end of the survey, this is what they found out. that why 57% of people in England call themselves Christians, 2 in every 5 think Jesus wasn't a real person. And I'm just wondering what the result would be if we were to conduct that kind of study in Kaluk or in St. John's. 57% describe themselves as Christians, but 2 in 5 do not think that Jesus was a real person. Again, 22% of people think Jesus was a mystical figure, while 17 are unsure whether he was real or not. This leaves us with something to think about in terms of how people see Christ today, how people see Jesus today. And I don't know where you fall in this. Who do you say that Jesus is? How would you describe Jesus as a member of the congregation? Because what we believe about Jesus has implication about every other thing else that we do as God's people. And it is important that we settle this in our hearts. Kabbat, we always talk about faith, seeking understanding. We are open to the work of God's Spirit in our hearts to grow us in our understanding and belief. And one of the people that Christ encountered has said to Jesus, "I believe, but help my unbelief." One in every 5 people who are not Christians from that survey will be happy to learn more about the faith after hearing other Christians talk to them about it. And so we can only talk about this if we are confident, if we are assured of what we believe. We cannot speak confidently even to our children if we don't believe. It's difficult to give what we do not have. We need to be confident believers, people who are confident about what we believe in. We may not fully understand everything that happens. I do not understand what happens when I enter into the car and press the button and it starts. Do I need to bother, open the bonnet and say, "I want to see how it starts"? In fact, I won't have any time to do anything in life. Do I need to open the bonnet every morning or go under and see how is it? What happens when I press the button? Why is it that when I put diesel into the car just starts? Do I need to bother myself about that each time I go to Tesco to find out what happened? Where does the fuel go into in this car? There are things in life we may not fully understand. But God calls us to a place of faith, and that's why we are a faith community who are open to the working of God's grace in our hearts. People who are bold to speak about what we believe. Now, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And this question comes to us pointedly, and Christ really intends it to be so. It is not enough to repeat what other people have said about Jesus. It is not just enough to say, "Yeah, they say this. Bill Graham said this. I was in this conference and they said this." What is really important here is, who is Jesus to you as an individual? Who do you say that Jesus is? It is something we need to actually deal with. Christ asked the disciples, "Okay, they say I'm Jeremiah, I'm Elijah, I'm John the Baptist, but who do you say that I am?" And as would be expected, Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ said, "You know what, Peter? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Spirit, the Spirit of my Father, has revealed this to you." Who do we say that Jesus is? as individuals and as a congregation, who is Jesus to us? We've sang some songs about Jesus. How wonderful, how marvelous is your love for me. Who is Jesus to us? The name Jesus was seen very clearly at the Annunciation of Mary when the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You have won God's favor. Listen, you are to conceive and bear a son, and you must call his name Jesus." And again, the revelation to Joseph, when the angel again appeared to Joseph and said, "Look, your wife, Mary, is conceived of a baby and of the Holy Spirit, and the name will be called Jesus." Jesus is derived from the Greek, is a Latin form of the Greek Lesus, and Jesus in Hebrew. And it means Yahweh is our salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And then you talk about Christ, Christus in Greek, meaning anointed one or chosen person. Of course, before Jesus, there were kings that were anointed, because for you to be a king, even David, they will pour oil on you and anoint you. But Jesus' anointing was not by any human being. He was anointed by his Father. And Christ also means in Hebrew, Messiah. So Jesus was sent from God to be a king and deliverer. You can see that in some scriptures. He was sent to be a king and a deliverer. You will see that during the triumphant entry, when he rode on a king, on the donkey, and they were spreading cloths on the road, and they were singing songs of praise to Jesus, and they were hailing him, "All hail the king, all hail the king." They were shouting and praising him as the King of Kings. And so when we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," it is an imperative. We are making a statement. We are saying, beyond all the arguments, we are aware of the alternative explanations out there by Arrhenius that said, look, he was not in the same form with the Father. We are aware of the alternative arguments out there. There are so many alternative arguments. But when we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord," we are taking a position to say, look, this is what we believe, against every other explanations out there. And it means that we believe not just in the Jesus that is ascended, we believe in the historical Jesus. He's a historical figure. The anointed Son of God, his only Son. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, again, came up with this wonderful song, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He speaks about Jesus being the same form, in the same very nature with God. Last Sunday, we read from John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." As God's people, and over the centuries, we affirm this belief in God's only Son. In one sense, we enter into this sonship or daughtership through the sonship of Jesus Christ, through the work that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. Jesus means God is our salvation. He's God himself. He's God's unique revelation to humankind. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And that's why we sing, "He's the Lord, he's the Lord." And there's a song we also sing, "Every knee we bow and every tongue we confess that Jesus is the Lord." Every knee must bow Every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus 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 is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He rules in every kingdom, and he gives the kingdom to whoever he wills. There is no square inch of life where Jesus does not say he's the Lord. And when we say our Lord, we are affirming Jesus' Lordship. We are affirming that he's the Lord of Lords. And before we can say our Lord, just to finish, before we can say our Lord, we also need to say my Lord. We need to say my Lord in our heart. He needs to be the Lord in our hearts before we can effectively say our Lord when we say the Apostles' Creed. He needs to be the Lord of our lives. He needs to be the author and finisher of our lives. Today, as we leave from here, we have something, a message to pass on to our families, a message to pass on to our communities, a message to pass on to our friends. We may not fully understand, but in faith we believe that Jesus is his only Son, our Lord. The Lordship of Jesus is almost like the slogan, the confession that Jesus is Lord, is the center of our faith as God's people. And as we live here today, maybe the question we need to go home is Jesus the Lord of my life? Is Jesus the Lord of my family? Is Jesus the Lord of my career? Is Jesus the Lord of my marriage? Amen.